The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday. Catherine Fry, Sam Turner and Darren Owen will be in the studio. The meetings on Tuesday come from Lingfield, Sedgefield and Southwell in the afternoon. We'll finish the day with an evening fixture on the poly track at Wolverhampton. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm in very good form, Mark.
Good. Glad to hear it, John. We've had quite a good weekend of racing this week, last weekend, sorry. So the Monday jury is a particularly interesting once again, so we'll start with that and then we'll move on to Tuesday's racing, John. And before we start with this, what a good weekend it was at Haydock Park.
I thought it was tremendous racing, wasn't it? You know, exciting, enthralling, you know, really dramatic contests. And if ever there was an advertisement for top-class jumping, then last Saturday's programme at Haydock was it.
Yeah, very good card indeed. Good stuff. And we'll start by looking at some of those results then, because the first question surrounds that. What impact did the Betfair chase have on your King George and Gold Cup thinking?
Well, quite a bit, really. I think, take the King George first. A lot of people will think of the Q card after that great win on Saturday is, you know, nailed on to win the King George. I don't. I thought Q card was excellent in the Betfair. He jumped really well. He galloped and travelled supremely well throughout. And those people who felt he was going to fall into a hole at the second last were proved really wrong, because there were a couple of horses coming after him, top class performers in Dean Aston, Sylvini, Arco Conte, but he flew the last and absolutely galloped away up the run in. So stamina is no problem. But Mark, I don't think Kempton suits Q card, and in a way I would be, you know, interested to see if the Tizzards did decide to actually go to Kempton, or perhaps give it a miss and wait for Cheltenham. He was pretty dreadful at Kempton in the King George last year. I know there were excuses. The ground was horrific on that occasion. Probably Q card wasn't quite as at the top form as he might have been, but I got the impression that he was not really suited by the Kempton course, and so I would not be on Q card for the King George. The two I would think had a very good chance were the two finished second and third, and at this moment I will be on Dinas as my first choice for the King George. But I certainly would not dismiss Q card for the Gold Cup next March. I think Cheltenham is his course par excellence, and the way he jumped at Haydock suggested that, you know, he's a real contender for the Gold Cup.
Okay. So you wouldn't be concerned about the extra couple of furlongs and the fact that it's uphill at Cheltenham? Would he stay that, do you think?
I think that is a question mark, but the way that he stayed on so strongly from the final fence at Haydock on Saturday would suggest that stamina is not the problem that a lot of Q card's critics might have suggested.
Yeah, and anybody who listened to the podcasts over this week as well, Ben Bramley on Thursday said Q card looked good each way bet, and AP McCoy on Saturday morning said Q card each way, and a remarkable price in the end. I think he went off 9-1, didn't he?
So. Yeah, it was a very generous price. I kicked myself after the race, but Granny's rule, don't change your mind. I was always with Sylvini Arco Conte.
Yeah.
And actually, I thought he was definitely going to win coming off the home turn. I thought that Noel Feely had ridden wide to get a really good look at the fences, perhaps the better ground, and in particular to come up the stands rails to finish. And I suspected that Sylvini Arco would pick up from the third line and scoot up the rails. Well, he didn't, but he ran a pretty sound race.
Yeah, and he'll come on for that run as well, won't
he? Yes.
Be interested to see him later on in the year. Let's move on, John. Do you like the look of Alpha Off for either Kempton or Cheltenham?
Yes, I do. Mm. And talking about the King George, we were talking about the Haydock race just a moment ago, so I didn't mention Al Faroff, but I thought he was excellent at Ascot. He looked very well, you know. I looked at him as carefully as my rather impaired vision allows, but I thought he looked really fit at Ascot, and his jumping was excellent. I know he only had, you know, to beat one opponent, but French opera is no slouch, and, you know, has got some pretty good form to his credit in the past, and the way that Al Faroff attacked his fences from the start and galloped on strongly in the straight suggested that, provided he comes out of the race all right, he's going to be a real menace for other contenders in the King George.
Mm. Okay, then, how big a player could Annie Power be in the champion hurdle? She maintained her unbeaten record at Ascot, John, and she's going places, isn't she?
A very big power in my view, Mark. I thought she was most impressive at Ascot, and she didn't actually hurdle quite as fluently as I thought she might, but that'll be polished up during the season, and the way she travelled and then quickened when asked, I thought was most impressive. Now, I'm firmly of the opinion that this year's champion hurdle is up for grabs. New generation, it might be the new one. On the other hand, it could be My Tent or Yours, or it could be Melodic Rendezvous, or it could be Annie's Power. And I think any of the four have great chance. The Fighting Fifth will be interesting next Saturday.
Okay. Anything else catch your eye over the weekend or in recent days, John?
Yes, Lucinda Russell's horses, they are in tremendous form. There's no question about that. Peter Scudamore was, in fact, one of the panellists in the Monday Jury this week. He is, of course, Lucinda's partner, and he highlighted the claims of Lie for It. Now, this was one of my favourite horses, Lie for It. It's been about for a while now. The late Campbell Gillies, of course, regarded Lie for It as his most favourite horse of all. And it was the horse that really made his name as an up-and-coming jump jockey. I remember it winning for Willie Amos at 100-1 in a bumper at Carlisle. And Willie trained it to run some excellent races, particularly over hurdles. Didn't seem to like jumping fences, and now that it's gone to Lucinda, I think it's very interesting that hurdles have become the diet. Won extremely well at Weatherby first time out, and I thought ran a cracker against Your Nap, Gevrey Chambertin, at Haydock on Saturday, making ground strongly. And I note that Peter Scudamore has mentioned the Per Temps final. I would have thought, provided he remains fit, Life for It will be an ideal horse for that race. The other Lucinda Russell horses who caught my eye over the weekend were Silver by Nature, who I thought ran a superb race in the final chase on the card at Haydock. This is a lovely grey who, remember, was talked about as a possible Grand National winner two or three years ago, but the owners were not really keen to run the horse at Aintree anyhow. But the Welsh Nationals always been a sort of race that Silver by Nature, you know, is made out for. And I would have thought that he'd got a really good chance in that. And the other Lucinda Russell horse who could well go to Chepstow is Nuts and Bolts, who stays every yard of a staying trip like the Welsh National and was a good winner at the weekend. And finally, on the Lucinda Russell stable, Peter Scudamore listens to William Hill Radio, you know. He quite often, you know, taps me on the shoulder and says, I'm not all together certain what you said last week was right. And I noted today in this week's jury that he has commended Grant Coburn for his excellent ride at Ascot on Criss Cross. And that might well be just a little sort of nudge at Budden, because I have mentioned Grant Coburn several times over the past month as being an excellent young horseman, but perhaps needing to strengthen up a bit. And obviously Peter Scudamore thinks that Grant Coburn is actually a very promising young jockey, and he is, if you're listening, Mr. Scudamore.
Good. Right, let's turn our attention to the weekend then, John. Some big races coming up this weekend, and the first question surrounding those is the next one. It's turning to next weekend. Who do you fancy in the Hennessy Gold Cup? I have some betting here on the site as well. John, Invictus is the 7-1 market leader. Our Father is 8-1 with Rocky Creek. Adrian's Approach is 10-1 with Lord Windermere. 12s for Highland Lodge. Oublon de Zobo and Merry King and Tidal Bay also 12-1. Imperial Commander, his final race is in the Hennessy Gold Cup. He's 14-1 with Katenko and Union East, and then it's 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. Who do you like for the Hennessy at the moment, John?
I think it's a very, very difficult race because there's a combination of a comparatively unexposed and real old numbers like Imperial Commander. I'm a Katenko man, if that's pronunciation. I think this is a really promising horse, and Venetia Williams has her stable in very good shape. She'd like to win a Hennessy, and I thought this horse was one of the most improved chasers last spring, and the Hennessy could well be very much up his street. Katenko jumps pretty well, stays the trip, lightly raced, got a reasonable mark from a stable in form. So I think he is, you know, my first choice. There are a couple who have run at Carlisle this season who I've watched run, and the Carlisle races, particularly their graduation chase, has sometimes been a sort of hint towards horses likely to go well at a price in the Hennessy, and the two are Cloudy 2 and Buddy Bolero. Now, they're both reasonable horses. Cloudy 2 jumped really well when winning at Carlisle, and Sue Smith and Harvey Smith in form. They said immediately after the Carlisle race that Cloudy 2 might well go to the Hennessy, but depended upon what the handicapper did. Well, obviously, they're relatively satisfied. He's in the betting. He'll certainly stay the trip, and I like the way he jumped at Carlisle. So, at a price, Cloudy 2 could go quite well. And Tom Scudamore, I thought, gave Buddy Bolero a really sympathetic ride in the graduation chase at Carlisle. Remember, that went to a sort of less than one length between the first three, and oddly enough, the Smiths won it with Vintage Star. Buddy Bolero was given a sympathetic ride under top weight by Tom Scudamore and ran on really well for the Pipe Stable to finish second. And you know, David Pipe, well, his horse is going tremendously well. So although I'm with Katenko, I thought Cloudy 2 and Buddy Bolero might well boost Carlisle form.
Okay, those two are both 16-1, and Katenko is 14-1. And interesting to read what Liam Treadwell says in the Monday Jury in the Racing Post as well. He likes Katenko as well. He says he's ridden the horse, and he can easily say he's as good as anything he's ever sat on. Obviously, there's the slight question mark with the surgery for colic, but he says you wouldn't be able to tell from how he is at home. So, Peter Scudamore also highlights the fact that horses maybe take a while to get over the operation for colic and that. So if he's fitting well, like Liam Treadwell says he is, good news for you, John.
Well, I hope so, and I can't believe that Venetia will actually run the horse if she doesn't think, you know, basically it's 100% right for the Hennessy, because if there is a harder race during the calendar, I don't know the name of it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Right, the final question then, John. Is My Turn or Yours posable in the Fighting Fifth?
Yes, he is opposable. I think this is a very interesting race, and if they all three go to post, all the main contenders, we're in for a really good fighting fifth. If you look at the stats, actually, the runners in that Newcastle Grade 1 have done pretty well in the Champion Hurdle and other Grade 1 events of that type in subsequent races after running in the fighting fifth. My Tent or Yours is obviously going to be a real contender. The Henderson horses, I think the jury is just a little bit out as to whether they're absolutely spot on at the beginning of this current season. No doubt they'll come to themselves in a big way very shortly, but it's just possible that a My Tent or Yours will find one or two, you know, a little bit, well, certainly good enough to give him a really good run, Mark. And I've been trumpeting Melodic Rendezvous as not being a hopeless Champion Hurdle contender for some time. If he goes to the post, I think he'll certainly give my tent or yours something to think about. And there are two others running in the race who could be worthwhile thinking about. Cockney Sparrow, I noticed Dougie Costello gives really quite a good note about in the Monday Jury this week. Is very genuine and improving sort. Has shown excellent form under both codes over the past 6 months. John Quinn's in excellent shape. This is the sort of race, you know, which the Quinn stable have had a very good record in. And obviously we're thinking of horses like Countrywide Flame. So Cockney Sparrow is not completely out of it. And I'm interested in Nicky Richards' horse. I don't really think the Duke of Navan could win. But, you know, Nicky thinks he's a real star. And he sidestepped Haydock to go straight to the Fighting Fifth. Nicky's had a winner of the race in his training career. So, you know, watch Duke of Navan would be my word. I don't think he can probably beat the real contenders on Saturday, but he's a horse of real promise. Yeah, I think that my tent or yours will have a battle on his hands.
Okay. Well, that's the Monday Jury then for another week. We move on to Tuesday's racing next, and John's picked out one race at Lingfield and a couple from Sedgefield. So we'll start in the 1 o'clock at Lingfield. This is a novice's chase over 2 miles, five of them in the lineup here, John, and Pendra is a racing certainty according to the prices.
Yeah, I think he is, and people would say, what on earth's Budden doing and taking this as a possible winner of a race on Tuesday? It's simply because I've been waiting for Pendra to reappear. There was a race at Carlisle about 6 weeks ago now in which Pendra and Edward, Nicky Richards' improving youngster, came to the second last wide apart. Pendra on the inside under A.P. McCoy on a day he rode five winners, in fact, at the Carlisle track, and the veteran jockey Brian Harding on the stand side on Edward. Now, I thought, and I wasn't alone at the Cumbrian track, that Edward was going just the better. But unfortunately, having jumped really well, he stumbled on landing over the second last, lost all momentum, and was finally beaten four lengths by Pendra. But Pendra had done nothing wrong in that contest. He was there at the right time, as almost all Tony McCoy's horses are, and made every possible advantage of Edward's mistake. He ran on well. Charlie Longston thinks a lot of this horse. He had excellent form over hurdles, Coral Cup form, and I think Pendra is a horse that needs to be watched, and I hope he'll put in a very impressive performance and win, as he should definitely do so this 1 o'clock at Lingfield.
Okay. Would you have anything in mind to follow him home, John, see if you can get some value on the betting without or something like that?
Well, not really is the answer to that. I think he's an absolute banker, and the only reason I've mentioned him is that I really do think he's a promising chaser to watch.
Okay. To Sedgefield we go for the other two races. The 120 is where we start there. This is the WizKids Novices Handicap Chase. It's over 2.5 miles, and thankfully, John, this one's a little bit more competitive.
Yeah, say there are quite a lot of runners at Sedgefield. I think the ground will be reasonable, and you know, it's a very popular course, Sedgefield, certainly with northern trainers, and I do note a number of Welsh raiders frequently coming up to Sedgefield, and occasionally we see AP himself there. I thought this was an interesting little race. My local trainer from Ive Gill, only about 10 miles away from my house in Cumbria, Barry Murta, he's got Cavity Etta in this race, and you know, that horse has been going reasonably well, hurdling probably more the line than chasing, but is an interesting starter. Bocker Mix is in here too, bit of an old number now, but does occasionally come to the boil. And then we have Lucinda Russell in this race, and I thought that Ben Akram was nailed on here. Not quite as short a price, I hope, as Pendra at Lingfield, but undoubtedly likely to start favourite, isn't Ben Akram, Mark? I don't know whether you've got any betting for this contest.
I haven't got any betting. I've got a betting prediction. Ben Akram and Rattling are the two contesting favouritism on that.
Yes, well, Rattling is, of course, Sue Smith and Harvey Smith again, and they rather specialise in winners at Sedgefield. This horse has won well at Hexham in the past, got experience over fences, and is probably going to be hard to beat. But I'm a Ben Akram man here. I think Lucinda Russell Stable are in tremendous form. This is a lightly race chaser, and I was impressed with the way that Ben Akram got down to business at the business end of his last race at Kelso. He was running on really strongly in the final sort of two furlongs to chase home Jim Tango, who runs at Sedgefield later. And so that race was over 2 miles. This is over 2.5. I think the extra half mile will definitely suit Ben Akram, who is the selection.
Okay, Ben Akram then in the 120, and on to the 250 next. This is a handicap chase over the extended 2 miles, and Jim Tango is in this race, John, so you'll be watching watching the race at 120 with a view to the form of Jim Tango in this.
Absolutely right, Mark. I mean, if Ben Akram wins early out in the afternoon, as I hope he will, then obviously Jim Tango's got a very decent chance here to follow up for Karen McClintock. Tom Siddle in the saddle hasn't had a great deal of luck over the past couple of seasons, Tom Siddle, but remains a perfectly sound horseman. Jim Tango would obviously be a major player in this race, and his chances, as you say, would be boosted if Ben Akram runs well in the 120. Some familiar old numbers here. Pamak Dairy, for example, right at the top. Henry Hogarth. Talking about Tom Siddle as not having had all that much luck over the past two seasons. Well, Henry Hogarth has an absolute zilch luck. And Pamak Dairy didn't run too badly, in fact, when last seen. But my goodness me, the handicapper could give him a little mercy. Then we've got Turf Trivia in this contest, and the George Moore horses do pretty well at Sedgefield over the years, and it wouldn't surprise me if Turf Trivia actually went relatively close, but he's a fairly modest beast, Mark, on the whole, without being rude. The two I like are longer priced horses than this. I think Jim Tango will start favourite, will be hard to beat, but the two longer priced animals that I quite like are Bob's Dream and Overlaw. Now, Bob's Dream represents Willie Amos, and talking about trainers who haven't had much luck, Willie Amos hasn't had much luck, has moved. He's still in the borders of Scotland, but he's moved from Hoyk, where he used to train above that town and nearer to the coast. And he's had several horses running over the past fortnight, running quite well without winning, but you know, not far from getting into the placings. And Bob's Dream was third last time out. Bob's Dream is a horse who goes well at Sedgefield, but we have a caveat, Mark. He does break blood vessels. Now, Willie Amos has, you know, been very patient with Bob's Dream, and if he were to get around without having any problem bleeding, then Bob's Dream would obviously be in with a major chance, ridden by Brian Harding. But I'm going to go for a possible outsider here. I'm going to go for Overlaw. I've been impressed by two things recently on the Northern Circuit. One, that horses trained by Stuart Coulthard have been running exceptionally well. Talking Sense was a horse that I went for recently, who was a good winner, and he's had a couple of other horses running really well in the past week. I think he's got his team in excellent shape. Overlaw's well handicapped, running for the first time this season, but goes pretty well when fresh. And the other thing is that he's got young Darren Burke in the saddle, who is claiming 10. Now, this young man looks as though he can ride. Obviously he can, but, you know, I wondered when I saw him riding for the Coulthard team earlier in the season, but each time I've watched him, he's given a really decent performance, and I think he's real value for his £10 claim. So I'm going to go for Overlaw in this contest to continue the rousing run of Stuart Coulthard.
Okay. Let's just have a quick summary then, John, if you wouldn't mind, if you'll spin us through your three for Tuesday one more time.
Well, I'm rather shamefacedly going for Pendra in the 1 Hartlock at Lingfield, not for the price, but because I think he's a good horse, worthwhile watching. Then in the 1.20 at Sedgefield, possibly my nap of the day, will be Ben Akram for Lucinda Russell, and going for a relatively long-priced horse in the 2.50, that is Stuart Cothard's Overlaw.
Okay, thank you very much, John. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from midday. Catherine Fry, Sam Turner and Darren Owen will be in the studio. It's Lingfield, Sedgefield and Southwell in the afternoon, and we'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture at Wolverhampton. Four meetings to look forward to. You'll hear them all on Racing Radio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.